It's not like any other podcast, coming to you straight from the heartland, where investing is told like it is. It's time for Darren Garman's Paranoid Banker Podcast. Hold on, because here comes the next episode of the Paranoid Banker Podcast.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to this week's podcast, and a podcast that I'm really looking forward to going over with you and sharing with you today. As we really discuss what I consider the three keys of making massive profits from real estate investments. And realistically, you could have a long list of things, I guess, that are required for a successful real estate investment, and one that will make money, especially if we use the term a lot of money. The list can be long. And so what I wanted to do here today with you is really boil it down to the three what I consider essential things that are necessary. So no matter what, else is going on, what else is swirling around regarding a potential real estate investment that you're looking at investing in, maybe one that you own already. I mean, that could be the case, really. Or maybe one that you're looking at maybe selling. I mean, it really applies to whether you're curious, whether you're an investor now, whether you plan on being an investor, whether you might be an investor later, and maybe you're going to be out of an investment. Lots of categories we could really cover in terms of why someone should be interested in this kind of material. And so let's jump into the material, because the three things that I'm going to cover, I think, are absolutely necessary in order for you to make as much money as possible, okay? And the good news is, regarding these three things, they're not anything mystical, magical. They aren't difficult. There really is no secret formula to any of this. And that's the good news. Like most everything, there really is not a secret. It's really about doing certain things a certain way, and it's things that most everyone already knows that they should or could do. And this is not an exception to that. And so let's jump into it. Let's go over the first thing. And the first thing might surprise you, actually. So if I were to ask you, where do you find the best real estate deals? Okay, so if I would give you one choice, okay, I'm holding a gun to your head, and I'd say, you got to tell me right now, in the next 10 seconds, the best place for you to get a real estate deal, and that is, and you got to answer in 10 seconds, what do you think you would say? So I want you to think to yourself, maybe speak out loud, what you would say the best source of real estate investments are. Okay. I'm going to tell you what most of you said, either out loud or to yourselves. You said foreclosures, bankruptcies, bank repossessions, bankruptcies, those kinds of things. So in one way, shape, or form, most of you said probably one of those things or something in a category really, really close to that. And by the way, you don't have an argument for me necessarily on that. There are great deals to be found there. Not all of the time. Not all of them are great deals, by the way. Just because it's repossessed and being foreclosed, that actually could be bad news. And you may just be inheriting a problem, not taking over something that could be an opportunity, by the way. But that's what most people would say. And I can tell you that we have done pretty well with our bank repossessed properties that we've owned, that we've taken over. We've done pretty well. We haven't done wow, outstanding, unbelievable, by the way. It didn't turn out to be the huge windfall that you think it would, but we've done good. We've done fine. But what if I told you that that was not the source? That you weren't wrong, but you were off the mark a little bit. You weren't on target, you were off target a little bit. And you could actually be really, really on target if you consider the source I'm going to tell you about. The source is going to surprise you. You're going to scratch your head a little bit when I tell you what it is. You're going to wonder a little bit what I'm talking about. And so I am going to go over the info with you and give you what the answer is. And it's really dumb owners, dumb realtors, and dumb managers. Okay. So the best source, the greatest source for fantastic apartment and commercial property profits are from dumb owners, dumb realtors, and dumb managers. Okay. And by the way, at risk of offending you, if you are a realtor, a manager, or an owner, I'm one too. So I don't want you to take this as me necessarily criticizing you personally. That is definitely not the case. But in a general sense, it is the case. And so we have made the most money on our properties, bottom line, from folks that didn't really know what they had. That's really what it comes down to. So when I say dumb, that might be a little harsh. But at the end of the day, when you're leaving tens of thousands to millions of dollars on the table, that's not very smart. And so our best opportunities that we have had over the last 25 years have been buying properties from either owners that didn't know what they really had, thought they did, but they didn't really know, realtors selling the properties that they didn't really know what they had and didn't really know in a lot of cases what they were doing, by the way, or property managers that really didn't know what they had. And so you'll be surprised to know that most apartment property owners, even institutional owners in some cases, don't really know what they have, nor are they proactive in making sure their properties remain as profitable and as valuable as possible. It's rare. Most give lip service to it. Most say, yeah, I do this and I do that. But do they actually do anything in terms of making sure their rents are at market levels? Making sure their expenses are as low as they can possibly be? Making sure they've got a good tenant mix? Making sure that the property is producing as much income and value as possible? Frankly, maybe 10% of owners do. The other 90% of owners buy the properties, own and manage or have them managed, and pretty much let them run on autopilot without much thought or proactivity in making them as valuable as possible. Now, here's what that spells for you and me. That spells profit, and that spells opportunity. So the biggest profits that we've made from properties that we've purchased have been, again, from people that didn't know what they had. So let me give you two quick examples. I'll give you a small one, and I'll give you a large one. And so 7-unit property is listed for sale in my marketplace. A residential realtor has the property for sale. The owner, who's owned it for about 30 years, finally has decided to sell. The residential realtor is a family friend, so the owner puts the property on the market with the residential realtor. And so I see the listing come across, you know, my computer, and I'm looking at it and I'm seeing 7 units for $130,000. Okay. And so I'm thinking to myself, so I do the quick mental math and think, geez, that's less than $20,000 a unit. I mean, that can't be right. I wonder what's wrong with the property. So I had the address, and I happened to have an appointment on that side of the town, uptown, that, you know, that morning. So on my way to the appointment, I drive by the property, and I'm surprised to see a nice built-as 7-unit property in a good location. So of course, I'm thinking it's got to be some kind of weird converted house, something that's old, needs a ton of work, something that's just got some kind of problem with it, right? Only to find a hell of a nice 7-unit property. So now I'm wondering, what the hell is the story here? So after I get done with my appointment, I get to the office and I call the residential real estate agent up. And I say, can you please send me the income and the expense information, you know, the rents and the expenses. She sends them over to me. And my jaw about hit the floor looking at the numbers. The rents were super low. The expenses were very high. Okay. So why is that significant? Well, what I found out was the owner hadn't raised rents on most of these tenants for 7 years or longer. Okay. Nor had the owner done anything in terms of reducing his expenses. He could have lowered his property taxes. He could have lowered his insurance costs. He could have lowered some of his utility costs and a couple of other things without having any effect on the residents or the property. Okay. Just didn't do it. Here's why he didn't do it. He owned it for 30 years. He's had it paid for many of those 30 years. And so, you know, every month he had a nice income coming from it. And so why rock the boat? Why, you know, why even spend time on it? It's doing good. So let me tell you what we did. Ended up getting a hold of one of my clients, purchased the property for $129,000 for $1,000 less than the asking price. Ended up raising the rents to market levels. This is over about 16 months period of time. Reducing the expenses, and the property appraised for $215,000. Now, here's the key to this. Nothing was done in terms of putting any money into the property. You notice I didn't say that. So there were no capital improvements done. There was no rehab work done. There was no new floor coverings, new appliances, new cabinets, new countertops, none of that. It was just manipulating the legally, right, the numbers and getting them from where they were to where they could realistically be from a rental income and an expense standpoint. Pretty easy, okay? And this property, over about a year's period of time, was worth almost $80,000 more than what was paid for it with no money put into it, no extra investment, okay? That story kind of encapsulates a lot of what you can run into. And by the way, if you think that just happens on small properties, it happens on large properties. So I have a partnership that purchased a 100-unit property in early February of 2014 for $4,100,000. Now, if you just look at on the surface and you look at the numbers that the property was, you looked at the current income, you looked at the current expenses, you looked at the purchase price paid for it. Hell, we paid $40,000 a unit for this property. It didn't really look like much. Actually, it looked pretty average. However, we knew we could increase the rents. We knew we could, more than anything else, reduce the expenses dramatically by tens of thousands of dollars. Once again, owner had owned the property since 1983. We buy it. We go ahead without putting any capital improvements in it. We make the adjustments to the rental income over about a 16-month period. We make adjustments to the expenses and get them to where they realistically could be. It goes from $4,100,000 to $5,200,000 in value in a little bit more than a year. So we basically doubled our investment on that property. And here's the key. We did not put any more money into the property. Okay. And so if you're smart, you not only look for those kinds of properties, you get involved in them as a partner as well, because even though on the surface it may look like an average property, knowing where it can realistically go and realistically be in a short period of time, and my definition of short period of time is within about 18 months, can lead to massive, huge profits. And the key to this, by the way, is you don't have to put a bunch of money into the property to get there. That's what's fun about it, and that's what is probably, I would say, the most profitable key in purchasing property is purchasing it from people that own them, that are selling them, that are managing them, that don't really know what they have. Now, here's the thing you need to know. Are these properties readily available? Okay. Can you go out there and find one of these today? Maybe. But like any real good profitable opportunities, they don't come along that often. So I don't want you to think that every property is like that. A lot of owners know what they've got and they maximize what they've got. A lot of real estate agents are smart and they know what they've got. So to think that this happens all the time, no, we're not that naive. However, there are more opportunities out there than you would ever think. So it pays to look for those kind of opportunities to make as much money from your real estate investment. So that's number one, is buying the property right, but buying them from different sources than what you would probably think. So that's number one. Number two will not be a surprise. And this could arguably be number one, by the way. And it's managing the property correctly. Managing the property correctly. The key to massive profits, the key to large profits, the key to large sales prices is property management. Okay? Because think of it this way. It doesn't matter how great the opportunity is when you buy it. You may think you've got the greatest opportunity that you now own that has ever shown its face in the world of real estate. But if you screw up the management part of it, you screw up that part of it, it's not going to be worth anywhere near what it could be. And so not only does management involve the obvious things like maximizing the rents, reducing the expenses, and getting the property to a point where it's producing as much net income as it possibly can, okay? It's about tenant selection. It's about maximizing the community that lives in the apartments. It's about having that community stay in those units. Retention. It's about retention. Okay? It's about having the right kind of population living in those properties. And by population, I mean people that love to live there, have no problem in paying a higher rent to live there, appreciate living there, and see it as a community. Okay? Those are the kind of residents you want. You don't want the kind of residents that are disrespectful to the property, disrespectful to fellow residents, and disrespectful to you. Because what that means is they treat the property, treat you, treat their neighbors just like they're a commodity. That's what you don't want to have happen. You want them to basically take ownership, not literally, of course, but you want them to take ownership. And those are the kind of residents that you want to work on getting. Because once you have those kinds of residents and you have that kind of retention, everything becomes easier from a management standpoint, but it makes your property much more valuable. Because think about it. Let's say I'm a buyer and I come to look at your property. You have a property that has been well maintained, looks great. The common areas are in great shape. There's no garbage around. There's no chewing gum. There's no residents leaving wrappers all over the place. There's no garbage sitting outside the garbage dumpsters. I go through the apartments and they're well maintained and kept clean. The residents have pride in where they live. If I see that over and over again, my decision as a buyer becomes pretty damn easy. It really does, right? Because I don't have a long list of stuff I got to do when I take over. And if I don't have a long list, I'm willing to pay more and buy your property with a shorter period of time or time frame to close on it. Okay, think about it. How much are you going to pay for a property that needs a ton of work, has bad tenants, is going to be a total pain in the ass to own and run for 12 to 18 months versus a property that doesn't? Because not only does there a money factor, of course, in terms of how much is it going to cost to fix this or fix that, replace this or replace that, that of course factors into it. But think of the what I call the pain in the ass factor. Okay, and that pain in the ass factor is all about the time, effort, and energy it's going to take to get a property from where it is to where it needs to be. Compare that to a property that's teed up and ready to go. What do you think is going to sell for more money? What do you think is going to sell faster? What do you think is going to be better? That's right, that one. Why? Why? At the end of the day, because of management. Okay, management. And so when you get involved in a property, whether you manage it yourself or not, you need to make sure that that is fixed and that the management is good and that the management knows what they're doing and that they maximize what they've got, okay? Because if you don't have that, you're going to be missing a key ingredient to not only large profits, but it could also lead to big, big problems and could lead to losing money too, quite frankly. So management, that is really where the rubber meets the road. From getting the property from where it is when you have purchased it or invested in it to where it needs to be ultimately when the property is owned and when you sell the property. Okay. All right. Let's hit the third thing. The third thing is not going to be on anybody's radar screen. Once again, it's not a magic pill or magic formula, but it's something that you need to realize in order to maximize your investing in real estate. And that's quite frankly, learning from your mistakes and profiting from mistakes that you may make. Now look, I realize that nobody wants to make a mistake when they go into a real estate investment. Okay? Most of the real estate investments you will be involved in, or either on your own or maybe with a partnership, whatever, are going to be pretty much mistake-free. Right? But once in a while, mistakes will be made. A bad investment will be made. A property just doesn't operate like you thought. It doesn't produce the kind of income like you thought it would. It doesn't have the kind of value growth that you thought. Bottom line is, you can be wrong. No one is right 100% of the time. And so I can tell you from my own personal experience that every property that I have purchased has not worked out fantastic. Okay. I've had some mistakes, and I've made some. And in cases, I've lost money in properties that we thought were going to be fantastic, that we thought were going to be producing large amounts of income and have a lot of sale value once we sold it, only to find out that it did not turn out even close to what we thought it would. Okay, so when we've run into those, when we've had those challenges and figured out that we've made a mistake, how do we handle it? Do we not invest in real estate anymore? Do we have a bad attitude toward investing in general? Do we get mad and upset and start blaming and start pointing fingers? Do we start blaming other people or other things, the economy, the government? No. At the end of the day, no. We blame ourselves, we figure out what we've done, we figure out where we went wrong, we move the asset, and that means either selling it or turning it over to maybe one of our partners to own it, but we turn the asset over usually by selling it, even if it's at a loss, and we move on, knowing that even though we may have lost money, knowing that even though it may not have gone like we thought it would, we learn from it so we don't repeat the same mistake. So really, in a weird kind of way, those mistakes that come up are actually good. They're actually very good because now you won't repeat them. And in the long run, you're actually saving a ton of money versus doing the same thing over again and making the same mistake, right? And so learning from your mistakes, learning from where you may have went wrong is huge in your bank of experience in making a ton of money on your next deal, Okay, huge. So there are certain properties we won't own anymore. There are certain kinds of tenants that lease properties that we won't deal with anymore. So there are, I can name a long list, and that was very general, but I can name a long list of things that we don't do anymore, or we refuse to do. Why? Because we've learned. And so I'll give you a quick example. I had an opportunity come up a month ago. On the surface, it looked really good. And it looked like something we should take advantage of. However, we used to own a property very similar to this. This one that I'm talking about. Very, very similar. And how did that property go? It was a nightmare and we lost money. So do you think, knowing what I know now, that we're going to invest money, time, effort, and energy in this project? Even though it looks pretty good. But knowing from our experience how it could turn out, of course, the answer is no, we're not. And we're going to be much, much better off as a result. And we're going to have much, much more money in our pocket as a result of that. Okay. And so those are the three items that I wanted to pass on to you that I consider to be keys to massive real estate profits. And my guess is these three probably were not on your radar screen. Maybe in a way they were, but my guess is they probably were not. And so my recommendation to you is to keep these three items in mind when you're looking at your next real estate investment, either on your own, or when you're getting involved in maybe a partnership or a joint venture, those kinds of things. Okay. And as long as these three key ingredients exist, you've got the makings of a very special project and a very special opportunity. Okay. But I would tell you, you want to do everything you can to make sure they exist. All right. So with that, I hope you have a great rest of your week. A great weekend, and you will now have the ammunition to look at your next investment real estate project maybe a little differently, but in a way that will, no, I don't ever say guarantee, but will really go a long way in locking in those profits that you're expecting. All right, have a great day. Have a great rest of your week, everybody. And again, as always, feel free to send me an email with your comments, with your thoughts regarding the content of this podcast. Would love to hear from you. Send me an email. We look forward to hearing what you have to say. All right. Take care, everybody. All right. We'll see you. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining Darren Garman's Paranoid Banker Podcast. For investment questions, comments, or to get in touch with Darren, go to www.garmanblog.com.